T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
92.9 FM ESPN presents the area's only national columnist who spends his afternoons bringing unique perspective to Memphis radio. He'll make you think. He'll make you laugh. He'll sometimes make you change the station if children are around. And he apologizes in advance for that. It's 4 o'clock. Let's get into it. This is the Gary Parish Show.
I'm here. My name's Gary Parish, speaking to you from Memphis, Tennessee. Ben Adol's producing the program. Glad he's with me. Glad you're with me. Hope you're getting through the day best you can.
Well, Daddy lost most everything on horse, whiskey, and Wendry.
I hope to God you didn't let Big Bet Bennett talk you into Grizzlies plus 9.5 last night.
Oh, come on.
Woo!
That's how we're starting this.
You walked us right into a disaster, Big Bet Bennett.
Yeah.
Walked us right into a nightmare.
Mm.
Plus 9.5 was not a winner last night.
I'm hurting too, y'all.
For a while, it looked like plus 30 wouldn't be a winner last night. The Grizzly season is over. I'm sure you heard. We'll talk about it momentarily. First, though, quickly, let me set this afternoon schedule for you. 4:20, Bobby Marks is going to be here. He's an ESPN front office insider covering the NBA. I'll talk to him about the Grizzlies season in general, and what would he do going forward? About Justice Winslow, about Jaren Jackson Jr., about the roster from top to bottom. Bobby Marks going to join me right around 4:20. When I finish that, I'll take a break, come back, do 4 notable stories at 4:44, at which point I'll discuss 4 previously undiscussed stories, among them Mike Krzyzewski. They call him Coach K for short. Held a press conference earlier today to discuss his retirement plans. I'll tell you what he said. Right around 4:44, the USFL is reportedly returning in the spring of 2022. So next March, the details are scarce, but the league that was once the home of the Memphis Showboats does have a major television partner, so that's a good place to start. I'll tell you what I know about it a little later on this hour. We now know why alleged child killer Casey Anthony got into an incident at a bar down in Florida recently. It was an altercation with a woman who once dated the same man Casey Anthony used to date. And here's the good part. The man is a police sergeant, which raises the question, can you date an alleged child killer if you're a police officer? Seems like a bad look.
I think so.
Like, most people believe she got away with murder.
Allegedly.
Well, no, that is what most people believe.
That's true.
That's a fact. Most people believe that. Whether she actually did or not, who could say for sure?
Debatable, I guess.
It's not
that debatable, no.
It's not great. I wouldn't want to be on the other side of the debate.
No, I wouldn't either.
Seems like a bad look for a cop to be dating an alleged child killer. But I'll keep an open mind until we get into it just before 5 o'clock. United Airlines has purchased 15 supersonic jets that fly 1,300 miles per hour. And they're going to be able to get passengers from New York to London in 3.5 hours. So that's interesting. I'll tell you more about it during 4 notable stories at 4:44. 5 o'clock, Jeff Calk is just like always. Then I'll eventually do dinner to go and get on out of here. So that's the rundown. We got a lot to get to. But I did want to start with the Memphis Grizzlies, because game five of a best-of-seven series between the Grizz and Jazz, that was played last night up in Salt Lake City. As you know, it didn't go well. Final score, Utah 126, Memphis 110, and that doesn't begin to tell the story, because the story is that the game was over in the first quarter after the Jazz scored. You ready for this? 47 points in the first quarter.
Dude, it was so stupid. I think they shot, what, like 70% from three or something? Like, it was ridiculous.
7,000% from three.
It was one of the stupidest things I've ever seen.
47 points in the opening 12 minutes. It's literally more points than any Jazz team in any quarter in the history of the franchise has ever scored. In other words, John Stockton, Karl Malone never led a team to a 47-point quarter. So this was historically great and unprecedented stuff in that opening quarter from the Utah Jazz. They scored on 16 of their first 19 possessions. They made 9 threes in the first 11 minutes. They were up 21 points, barely 8 minutes in, and on pace to score, after one quarter, 188 points. What? Just an absolute nightmare of a start for the Grizzlies on the road. And though things did get better, relatively speaking, they never got better enough to get Memphis back in the game, largely because the Jazz shot 51.6% from the field while making 17 of the 44 three-pointers they attempted, which, if you watched it, you know, was a devastating pattern throughout the series.
Mm-hmm.
After shooting terribly from the perimeter in game one, Utah never shot terribly from the perimeter again. To refresh your memory, the Jazz were just 12 of 47 from three in game one. They missed 35 threes. They only made 25.5% of the threes they attempted in that game. And that's the biggest reason, along, of course, with the absence of Donovan Mitchell, that's the biggest reason that the Grizzlies were able to win game one. After that, in advance of game two, Donovan Mitchell returned, and then the Jazz started shooting incredibly, and it was a wrap. Game two, they were 19 of 39 from three, 48.7%. Game three, they were 19 of 43 from three, 44.2%. Game four, they were 17 of 34 from three, 50%. And in game five, they were 17 of 44 from three, 38.6%. Added up, and after game one, Utah was 72 of 160 from three while closing out the series. They averaged 40 three-point attempts per game over the final four games of the series and made 45% of them. And that's why they beat the Grizzlies four straight games by an average of 11.3 points. And that's why the Grizz last night never got closer than 15 points after the first quarter, trailed by as many as 35 at one point in the game, and lost it by 16. Simply put, the Jazz took advantage of the fact that the Grizzlies had no great ways to handle Utah once Utah started putting players, most often Jonas Valanciunas, in ball screens. The Jazz just bombed them and bombed them and bombed them. They had five different players finish the series shooting at least 40% from three. Five different guys shooting at least 40% from three. Mike Conley shot 54.8% from three in the series. Royce O'Neal, 53.6% from three in the series. Bojan Bogdanovic, 43.3% from three in the series. And Donovan Mitchell and George Niang both shot 40% from three in the series. Those five players were first, second, fourth, fifth, ninth on the team in minutes played per game in the series. So they were on the court a lot, and they just never stopped punishing the Grizzlies from the three-point line. Consequently, the Grizzlies season is now over, and Utah has advanced to play either the Clippers or the Mavericks, probably the Mavericks, in a seven-game series in the Western Conference semifinals. So question, Big Bet Bennett.
Yes.
It's all over with now.
Mm-hmm.
If you were a teacher handing out a grade,
okay,
what kind of grade would you give the Grizzlies season?
I would give it a solid B plus.
I think a B is the right letter. We could debate plus minus, but I think B is the proper letter.
Yeah,
because
I mean, there was games that got away that you clearly should have won throughout the year, right? So that's why I'm not giving them an A. But, like, the team got better under tough circumstances. They had to play more games in more days than they ever had before in the history of the franchise. So, yeah, I think, yeah, solid B+.
I think there's two things you have to remember when assessing how this season went. One, and this is the simplest thing, they overachieved.
Absolutely.
They won more games than they were supposed to win. They went further than they were supposed to go. Those are facts. They did better than they were expected to do. So there's no way to spin that into anything other than a positive thing. They won more games than they were supposed to win. They went farther than they were supposed to go. They were not supposed to be in the playoffs. They were not supposed to be in the play-in tournament, according to most projections. They were not expected to finish top 10 in the West. They finished 9th in the West, and then they were able to get into the playoffs. They won a game in the playoffs. After they won the game, they lost 4 straight. I realize that's not fun, but they did take a step this season. They made the playoffs for the first time as Ja Morant is the face of it, and they won a game in the playoffs for the first time since Ja Morant has been the face of this thing. So that's good. It's important to remember that. You can get lost in the details, but the bottom line remains the same. They were expected to do one thing, and they exceeded those expectations. So take that, put it over here. The other thing that I do think is worth pointing out is that if you go back to the preseason and you listen to all the smart people talk about what this season was going to be about, year two of Ja Morant, it wasn't about can they make the playoffs or not. We didn't spend a lot of time talking about that. Can they make the playoffs? Can they win a game? There weren't many conversations about that. This season was supposed to be about the development of Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr. This season will be a success if you can look up at the end of it and say Ja Morant is closer to becoming an all-star than he was after year one. And Jaren Jackson Jr. is closer to, if not becoming an all-star, becoming the type of player that makes you think you can build this thing to a championship level around Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr. And if you're being honest with yourself, I think you can say that Ja did do that,
mm-hmm.
took a step. Like, there's no doubt in anybody's mind now that he is, if not a current star, certainly a future star.
Yeah, he's going to be an all-star sooner than later.
And I think you could call him a current star.
Yes.
He just averaged 30 points in 5 games against the one seed in the West, the team that won more games than anybody else in the NBA this season, shot about 50% from the field, had a 47-point game, which is a historically great individual performance for a player only 21 years old. I think you can say that if the question in the preseason was, would Ja take a step in the proper direction to becoming the franchise point guard that everybody expects him to be, he did take that step. Was it perfect? No. You would like to see the three-point percentage go up instead of down. You would like to see the defense improve instead of maybe get worse. It wasn't perfect. But if you zoom out and just take a big snapshot, did Ja Morant take a step in his second year? I don't think there's any doubt. With Jaren Jackson Jr., there is some doubt. He was hurt for most of it. And if you want to chalk up his inconsistent play after he returned to rust and not being on the court with these players, with his teammates, for an extended period of time, I'll accept that. If you want to chalk up his not great three-point percentage to, man, it's been a long time since he played, I'll accept that. But I don't think anybody can honestly say that now after 3 years of Jaren Jackson Jr., you feel better about it heading into year four than you felt heading into year three.
Right. There's some uncertainty for sure.
There's more questions, it feels like, than there were this time last year.
Yeah.
Or even the year before. Doesn't mean he still can't become everything that some people expect him to become, but there's more questions heading into next season as this season concludes than, let's just put it this way, than I hoped there would be.
Yeah.
Than most people hope they would be.
And I'm totally down for waiting and finding out. Right.
Well, I don't think you have any choice.
You don't. But if there was a choice put in front of me, I would probably say I want to see what that guy's got with a full offseason, fully healthy, what he comes back with a full offseason.
Of course. And that's why I don't think anybody needs to push any panic buttons, if there are such things. I'm willing to chalk up what we've just seen over the past several weeks to he's still very, very young, and boy, he didn't play basketball for a long time. And it can take a minute, perhaps longer than a minute, to get back to where he was or to get where you need him to be. But again, circle back to the preseason. You wanted to see Ja and Jaren both take steps in the right direction. Ja, I think you saw that. Jaren, perhaps it's injury related. In fact, I'm certain it's injury related. But you didn't see him take that step. So you can't give that part of it an A and maybe not even a B. But big picture, you know who your franchise player is. You've identified that guy. You learned a lot about Dylan Brooks. I think you learned something about Kyle Anderson and Jonas Valanciunas.
Mm-hmm.
I think you've learned in this series that having 12 good players ain't really that important.
Man.
And
if they can all shoot like Utah's 12 players, then yeah.
Well, I guess my point in that remark is that throughout the season, you'd hear people constantly say, man, the Grizzlies from top to bottom.
They're
like
so deep.
Everybody
on
the roster can play. They're so deep. Like, that's not important. I mean, I guess it can be in the regular season when people are getting nicked up or shut down for 2 weeks or whatever. When it gets playoff time, depth is not going to win you games. You know who the favorite is to win the world championship? Brooklyn. Talk to me about their depth.
Right.
They didn't prioritize depth.
Right.
They prioritize stardom. And now they're probably, or at least they're the favorite, to win a world title. So there are things to sort out, but you learned a lot. I know losing four straight games to get eliminated from the playoffs is not ideal, but that doesn't mean it's not valuable. What the Grizzlies just went through is super, super valuable. And now you hope that they can take this experience, learn from it, and then individually develop while the front office tries to figure out how and when to get better pieces around Ja Morant, Dylan Brooks, Jaren Jackson Jr., and see where this thing goes next year and the year after that and the year after that. I'll talk to Bobby Marks about it next. You listen to Gary Parrish Show.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Stretch my hands to you.
Life like, this is what your life like. Try to live the life right. People really know you push your buttons like type right. This is like a movie, but it's really very lifelike. Every single night, right? Every single fight, right? I was looking at the gram and I don't even like lights. I was screaming at my daddy, told me it ain't Christ-like. I was screaming at the referee, just like Mike, looking for a bright
Mike Krzyzewski held a press conference inside Cameron Indoor this afternoon to discuss his retirement plans. We'll talk about that in the next segment. Jeff Coggins will be here a little after 5 o'clock, but right now he's an ESPN NBA front office insider. Bobby Marks, please make him the big interview.
Award-winning writers, athletes, coaches, the biggest names in sports. It's the Gary Parish Show Big Interview. Presented by Fleming's Prime Steakhouse and Wine Bar. Using food and wine to create memorable times.
So, Bobby, last night the Grizzly season comes to an end. They got bombed in the first quarter and was never going to catch up after that. So it's over now. It's in the books. From an outsider's perspective, what's your main takeaway from year two of the Ja Morant era?
Well, I mean, he certainly came on center stage in that playing game against Golden State and, you know, throughout the playoffs here. I think, you know, it's funny, if it would have ended in Golden State that Friday night, we would have probably been saying, like, the season was up and down, you know. Give him another, you know, we'll see what happens in year three. He'll develop a little bit more. But he entered center stage, right in the front there. And, I think you've got, I don't want to call him a franchise-level player quite yet. I don't want to give him that title. But he's certainly a player that you can build around and feel comfortable that you've got, you know, two more years on this rookie contract. And, you know, Gary, I always say, there's no better experience than being in the playoffs. You know, being in a play-in, being in an elimination game, playing the number one seed like they did Utah. And this will be it's a learning experience, and it's also, everyone will grow from this.
You had an interesting tweet last night, and you've been doing this as teams get eliminated, sort of addressing, you know, three of the biggest issues for whatever franchise heading into the offseason. Last night, you tweeted a graphic connected to the Grizzlies, and the number one offseason focus for the Memphis Grizzlies was the next step with the roster. What is the next step with the roster? Because it's interesting. And Mark Giannotto, who is a columnist for the Commercial Appeal here in Memphis, had an interesting column this morning pointing out that once upon a time, Utah had a quote-unquote young star in Donovan Mitchell, but they didn't wait. Once they recognized he's special now, they started putting pieces around him. Atlanta did a similar thing with Trae Young. There's been a sort of a narrative in Memphis that, you know, you got to give this thing time and let it mature. But is there an argument to push right now and get more experience / better pieces around Ja Morant so that you are ready to take the next step next season?
Yeah, I agree. There certainly is an argument for that. And I know this roster is young, and, you know, Denver was saying the same thing a year ago, but you never know how open, you know, with either, you know, competing for a playoff spot or trying to jump in the top four or trying to get out of the Western Conference. You just never know how open that window is going to be or who gets lucky in the lottery and maybe they get a franchise level player. And, you know, now, you know, Memphis is kind of playing from behind a little bit here. And, you know, the first section of the article was that they are the gold standard of how they've built their roster, right? Zach Lyman has done a terrific job with the Valanciunas trade, you know, certainly in the draft with Ja and Jaren and what they've done in the, you know, outside of the, you know, in the 30s to 45 with, you know, guys like Dylan Brooks and Desmond Bane. But is that good enough? Right? Like, unfortunately, I don't know if that's good enough to build a roster that way and to get into a, be a top four seed or get to a second round or to a conference finals here. And, they've got, you know, what, 13 or 14 guys coming back under contract. We'll see what happens with Winslow. Eventually, you know, the value contracts of Morant and Jackson and Bane and all these guys, like, you'll get to a point where you're going to have to pay them. And you've got a lot of guys who are going to be on expiring contracts with Valanciunas and Tyus Jones, you know, Grayson Allen, you know, guys like that. So you're kind of in that in-between stage. Like, you know, either you can kind of go with this current group and hopefully from a year of development you take that next step, or you want to stick your toe in the deep end a little bit. I mean, you've got these draft picks from Utah and Golden State. You've got all your own picks, and you've got a lot of guys on value contracts.
Talking to Bobby Marks. He's an NBA front office insider for ESPN on Twitter at BobbyMarks42. The second part of the article focuses on, as you mentioned already, Justice Winslow. I put you in charge. How do you handle this situation?
Yeah, I think we talked about it a couple months ago. And back then I was more inclined to you know, exercise the option and bring him back. I'm almost kind of running the Justice Winslow experiment in Memphis is almost kind of running out of time here. I understand why they would pick it up, and you have another year and you have a trade asset, but I just don't see how he fits. I don't see how he fits with this current group here. I would rather go in the you know, put myself in that position to decline the option. And you don't, you know, you'll have, you know, $20 million, $22 million in cap space. You don't have to go out and use it all. If there's something out there that makes sense in free agency that you can go out and get, I think I'm more inclined to do that compared to maybe just waiting that there's going to be a trade down the road that you can use that contract.
The next part of the article focuses on the rookie extension of Jaren Jackson Jr. There was a time, I guess, where people here hoped it would just be a no-brainer. You do whatever you got to do to lock up Jaren Jackson Jr. for as long as you can lock him up. But given injuries that have sidelined him for a not insignificant amount of time, and the fact that he didn't look great after he returned from injury this season, which is probably, in fact, almost certainly injury-related, It complicates things a little bit. How do you see the Jaren Jackson Jr. rookie extension unfolding?
Yeah, the rookie extensions are the hardest to negotiate unless you are Jason Tatum, Donovan Mitchell, Bam Adebayo, guys that are going to get a max extension off the bat. And it's hard because you're not negotiating against anybody. You're negotiating against against an agent and the player. There's nobody out there with cap space to come in with an offer sheet. The only deadline is right before the start of the season. And for me, I am playing it out. I think I would make an offer, and it would probably be a below market offer, and play it out. And hopefully he stays healthy for a full season. Evaluate him, another year of body of work, and then go into, you know, the off season with next off season with him being a restricted free agent. You have the right to match offer sheets, but yeah, I'm not going out there kind of writing a blank check, 4 years, $100 million in that regards. If I'm going to do anything, I'll probably want some protection on it with the knee, just to, in case there's an injury down the road and he's out for an extended period of time.
I'm talking to Bobby Marks, NBA front office insider from ESPN. He's on Twitter at BobbyMarks42. I want to bounce around the NBA with you just a little bit. There's interest in this market in the Golden State Warriors because, A, it's a Western Conference team, and, B, James Wiseman, former University of Memphis Tiger, is there. How do you think the Warriors approach this offseason, given that, in theory, you bring back Steph, Draymond, Klay at some point, Andrew Wiggins, played better than he's played this season than he has in others. But, you know, there's a big question about whether they have championship-level talent within the franchise right now? And if not, what do you do? Because Steph can only play at this level for X amount of years. How do you handle Golden State's situation?
Yeah, you've got with three guys, with Draymond, Steph, and Clay, the timeline of how they're building the roster doesn't fit the timeline of your core guys, in that you have a number two pick in Wiseman. You're going to have potentially two lottery picks here to add. So now you got three guys, bench guys or starters to kind of, build around here. And that's, if you're trying to win a championship, unless those guys are marquee impact guys, that's tough to do here. I think what Wiseman is that, A, you got to get him healthy. If there ever is going to be any trade value for him, you got to get him healthy. You got to get him back on the court and increase his value here. And I've said it all along, I'm not ready to wave the white flag on any of these rookies this year, just because, based on circumstances that they had to go through here with COVID, with no offseason, with no summer league, basically kind of throwing them into the fire a little bit here. So I'm playing it out at least, for maybe the first half of the year. And then, let me see where that roster in Golden State is. And if I need to do something, then fine. But for right now, I'm not doing anything.
Before I let you go, two games tonight. The first one tipping off at 7 Central, Nuggets and Blazers. It's a closeout game for Denver. Are you surprised Denver has held it together as well as it's held it together in the absence of Jamal Murray?
I'm stunned. I am stunned. I don't know how they're still in it, and they're up 3-2. It's a tribute to the backcourt of Campazzo and Austin Rivers and Marcus Howard, guys who are on two-way contracts here to make big shots. Certainly Jokic, we know how great he is. And then you get, Michael Porter Jr., the performance he got, in game five, and then Aaron Gordon here. And I picked Denver to win it. I don't know. Portland should be up in this series. So there's no reason. If they don't get out of this round, Gary, I don't know what to say about, what's going to happen with Terry Stotts. I don't know what's going to – if you're Damian Lillard, you're looking out. We can't get past a Denver team without – Murray, Barton, P.J. Dozier, guys like that. So I am surprised. It will be interesting because, as you know, closeout games are the hardest games to come by.
And then the second game, going to tip off a little after 9:30 Central, Suns-Lakers. And it is wild how quickly things can change within a series. I was on a television show last Friday. Please don't go look it up because it'll sound ridiculous now. But Chris Paul was injured. The Lakers were up. And it felt like – this is basically a wrap. And now AD's injured. Chris Paul is healthier. And the Suns have an opportunity to eliminate LeBron James from the playoffs later tonight. How big a trouble is LA in right now?
Oh, I think they're in a lot of trouble. I really do. And I don't look at it that this young team, the Phoenix team, is going to have to go on the road and close out. I think that game four they were able to win in L.A., those guys grew in years just by that win. That was basically an elimination game for Phoenix here. And I picked the Suns to win the series when it started. I'm going to stick with them right now. We'll see what happens with AD. I know eliminating LeBron in the first round I don't think has ever been done before, but I like how Phoenix is playing. I like the confidence level with this group, and I could see them closing out tonight.
Last thing before I let you go, the Mets win the NL East by 10 or 15 games?
Well, hopefully 15, so we can all take the month of September off, right? And we don't have to worry about anything there. So I'll take 15 right now. I won't have to watch the games or anything. Just get me to October.
I'll take 15. It's been wild. Everybody's hurt, but they're still winning. So been a fun baseball season so far. We'll see if they can hold it together. Bobby Marks, he's on Twitter at BobbyMarks42. I appreciate your time, buddy. I'll catch up with you down the road.
Thanks, Gary.
Take care. That's Bobby Marks from ESPN NBA Front Office Insider for the worldwide leader. I touched on Mark's column. I meant to spend more time on it in the opening segment, but I knew you're not going to believe this, but we were running a little behind.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to late to get to Bobby Marks. But I thought Mark made some really interesting points in his column this morning about, and let me raise my hand, I have sort of push this narrative as well. So I'm as guilty as anybody else if we're labeling anybody guilty of, hey, this is going to take time. You can't rush it. You can't
expedited. You know, Ja is 21, Jaren is 21. You know, it's going to be a few years of probably stuff similar to this before they are actually contending for a Western Conference championship. And the point Mark makes, not necessarily in these words, but more or less, is why? Why do you have to wait? Atlanta didn't wait. They had a 21-year-old star in Trae Young last season. And they recognized they grabbed something special. We've got a uniquely talented young guy. Let's put some real pieces around him now and see if we can break through. So they added Bogdanović, Clint Capella, Gallinari. That's the third, fourth, and sixth leading scorers on their team right now. They added them.
Mm-hmm.
And now, Trae Young and the Atlanta Hawks, I know it breaks your heart, Bennett, but they are in the Eastern Conference semifinals.
They are.
And there's plenty of people giving them a real chance to maybe get to the Eastern Conference Finals. When they started making moves last offseason, some people were goofing on them. Like, what are they trying to do? Oh, you're going to do all these deals to add some veterans so you can finish eighth? No, how about to go to the Eastern Conference semifinals? Maybe the Eastern Conference Finals. Maybe the NBA Finals. Who knows? I doubt it, but like, they look the part right now. They look good. Same thing in Utah. They didn't have Donovan Mitchell as a young, obvious future star and say, well, you know, it's going to take 3 or 4 years. Got to give it time. They went out and started adding veteran pieces, talented pieces. And now they're the one seed in the West. I think probably at this point, the most likely team out of the West to go to the NBA Finals, given that the Lakers could be gone, Clippers could be gone, Denver's hurt, Portland's flawed, Dallas is, Luka's amazing, but who would you take, Utah or Dallas? I'd take Utah.
I would too.
So there's two examples of two franchises drafting a young, gifted, difference-making guard. Utah, Donovan Mitchell, Atlanta, Trae Young. Neither franchise said, well, we just got to let this thing play out and develop and mature as it will. They said, no, we've got this special piece. Let's put real pieces around it, and let's go for it right now. Let's just see where we get. For Utah, it might be a world title. For Atlanta, it's at the very least the Eastern Conference semifinals. I think Mark made some good points.
Yeah, I do too. It has to be the right move. I know everything's going to be predicated by that, but like, you know, you don't want to run. I don't think this front office would, but like, you definitely don't want to run into a Chandler Parsons situation with this
group because it'll
kill the whole thing.
Yeah, you don't do that.
Yeah,
I don't think anybody, even Mark, is advocating that.
No, I know he's not.
But and you don't. Let me be clear. You don't mortgage your future to go try to build a title contender for next season.
Right.
But if there is something that can be done that allows you to keep your or what you believe are your core young pieces,
mm-hmm.
allows you not to give up too many future assets, but also allows you to undeniably improve the roster, I think that's something that not only has to be considered, but possibly done.
I think so, too. I think next year's the big free agency class, the 2022. So that's...
Yeah, but I'm not focused on free agency too much because that's not where...
That's yeah.
I mean, I'm happy to be wrong about this specific thing. But I don't think Memphis is the type of place, certainly never has been, where you're going to be able to go out and in free agency, find your next big piece.
No, you had to overpay.
If we're calling, I don't even think that works. If you're calling Ja Morant the centerpiece,
mm-hmm.
and fingers crossed, Jaren Jackson Jr. is going to be the other, he's going to be the sidekick. I'm not comparing them to mid-90s Bulls, but if Ja Morant's going to be Michael Jordan.
I get what you're saying.
And then Jaren Jackson Jr. is going to be Scottie Pippen. Who's going to be the third guy? I don't think you're going to get that guy in free agency. I think you're going to get that guy by luck in the draft,
mm-hmm.
because of where you're going to be drafting if you consistently make the playoffs, or more likely through a trade.
Yes, that's it.
Like I talked about yesterday, Memphis, and I say this as a Memphian, this is my home. But the truth is, it is not a destination for NBA players. People don't dream of playing in Memphis. And when I talk to NBA players, the guys I work with, they all like enjoy the crowd inside FedEx Forum for the playoffs and Grautows, and Memphis is a great basketball city and barbecue's great. They don't love coming here. You know, they love going to New York, to LA, to Miami, to Phoenix. They don't love coming here. So I don't know that you're going to be able to add a significant piece like that, a real difference maker, take you from one level to the next via free agency. Because free agents can say, eh, that's interesting, but I've got other options that are more appealing to me for a variety of reasons. But when it comes to trades, unless somebody got a no-trade clause, there ain't nothing they can do about it. Go back and Google anything related to Mike Conley before he was actually traded to Utah. You know what you'll find? 10 different stories that say Mike Conley's representation has let it be known he does not want to go to Utah. He would prefer to go to an Eastern Conference team. He does not want to go to Utah. He does not want to go to Utah. He does not want to go to Utah. You know what Utah said? Eh, we don't care.
Too bad, yeah.
Yeah, we think he can be the person that can be the thing that takes us to the next level. So we're not really concerned if he wants to be here. We're going to get him here. He's under contract for 2 years, and then we'll make him be glad that he's here and make him acknowledge he should have never felt the way he felt. And is there any doubt that's the reality right now? That is how it's worked out.
Oh, for sure.
He has taken them to another level, and I guarantee he's happy to be there. And so whether it's the Grizzlies adding the number two person or the number three person, I think the most likely scenario is that happens via trade. Whether it's this offseason or some other offseason or at the trade deadline next February or whenever. But there was a time where I thought, just let this thing develop, or at least I was leaning toward, just let this thing develop, allow the process to play out the way it will, and when it's ready to pop, it'll pop. And I don't know that I believe that anymore. Utah didn't wait. They said, let's go now. Atlanta didn't wait. They said, let's go now. I'd be interested in at least the Grizzlies exploring. Let's go now. We were the 8th seed in the Western Conference playoffs. Can we add a piece that makes us the 5th seed? The 3rd seed? Perhaps it's not possible. If not, then that's fine. But if it is possible, it should be explored. I'll talk more about it with Jeff Calkins a little after 5 o'clock. When we come back, Coach K held a press conference today inside Cameron Indoor to discuss his retirement plans. I'll tell you what he said next. Listen, Gary Parrish Show, we're on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
The God Killer, this Tokyo and I'm Godzilla. Playing blackjack versus death gun on the car dealer. Just bought a demon, I'm screaming about the car dealer. Last temptation of Mike, but I'm a car
Jeff Calkins is an award-winning columnist. Daily Memphian, host of the Jeff Calkins Show. Take pictures of dogs on the side. Going to join me in the next segment. Talk Grizzlies with him right now. I got four stories I'd like to discuss.
Four notable stories at 4:44. Gary tends to lose focus, start telling stories, and forget what he wanted to talk about at certain points every afternoon. So we've developed a device that ensures he'll touch on important things you need to know each day at this time. This is GP's four notable stories at 4:44. Story number one.
Mike Krzyzewski had a press conference earlier today inside Cameron Indoor Stadium to discuss his retirement plans. And the way he laid it out, I thought, made a lot of sense as it relates to what it is he wants at this point in his life. And it's a lot of what I talked about yesterday. If you remember, one of the things I told you is that in recent months, and talking to people around Kay, not Kay directly, but people around him, two things became increasingly clear from people who are around the Duke program and around Coach K. One is that he's ready to go. He's ready to go for a variety of reasons. The most obvious one being he's 74 years old. It's like interesting. I did a bunch of radio stuff yesterday and people would be like, so you're surprised Mike Krzyzewski's retiring? I'm like, you should never be surprised when a 74-year-old decides he's going to retire.
No.
Like that's past right. Retirement age.
Yes, it is.
So I was surprised that it happened yesterday. But I wasn't surprised that we got here. He turned 75 in February. So there's a lot of reasons he's ready to be done with this. The most obvious one being he turned 75 in February. So he's ready to go. That's one thing I kept hearing. He's ready. The end is pretty close. And the other thing that became increasingly clear is that he could not stand the way last season went. Finished 10th in the ACC. Worst finish ever for Duke under Mike Krzyzewski. Didn't make the NCAA tournament for the first time since 1995. So he's ready to go, but not like that. So how do you resolve those two things? I'm ready to go. I don't want to be spending my time recruiting. I don't want to spend my time in the transfer portal. I'm ready to go. But not like that. How do you resolve those two things? You do exactly what they're doing. You say, John Shire is going to succeed me. We're putting it out there in the open. Now everybody knows. And I get to coach one more team. I get to coach one more team headlined by the likely number one pick in the next, or I should say the 2022 NBA draft, Paolo Banchero. So I get to coach a preseason top 10 team that by definition has a chance to go to a Final Four, win a national championship. And while I'm coaching that team, I don't have to do anything else. I don't have to recruit because it's not my program anymore. This is my team. This is John's program. John's got to be the one on the Zoom call later on today. Not me. Whatever this program looks like the day I walk out the door, it's on John and his staff. Not me. So I'm not in the transfer portal. I'm not on the road recruiting. I'm just going to coach my team. I'm going to coach them hard, try to make them as great as they can be, maybe win another national championship, and then I'm going to walk out. Then it's over at the age of 75. Like, if those are the two conflicting feelings, I'm ready to go, but not like that. I'm ready to go, but not after finishing 10th in the ACC. This is the perfect way to resolve it. I'm still going. I'm going to be out of here next March or April. But I'm going to coach one more team. I'm going to coach one more team and one more season. And the team on paper is good enough to allow me to leave on a high note. And if not the highest, certainly higher than the note I'd be leaving on if I walked away right now. So I thought it made a lot of sense, and it'll be the dominant storyline heading into college basketball. And if Duke lives up to expectations, the dominant storyline throughout the season. Can you imagine going to a Final Four, Duke's on its way there, and you know you're watching the end of Mike Krzyzewski's career, and it at least has a chance to culminate with an appearance in the national title game. With a national championship. You can't get much better than
that. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
You couldn't get much better than that. So I know people who aren't Duke fans don't root for Duke. I got it. I'm on Twitter. I know what you think of Coach K and the Duke program. But personally, from, you know, in the spirit of what makes for the best stories for the sport that I primarily cover, I want Duke to win every game. And it'll be massive because they open the season inside Madison Square Garden against John Calipari and the Kentucky Wildcats. So it'll start really, really big, and then we'll see where it goes from there.
Story number two.
The USFL announced earlier today that it is coming back nearly 40 years after going away, and will have a season in the spring of 2022. So I believe we're talking next March, April, May. And they have retained the rights to every initial franchise name and logo.
Okay.
including the Memphis Showboats.
Man.
So the question that people here obviously ask is, does that mean Memphis is going to have a franchise? And I don't know the answer to that. That answer has not been reported anywhere. In fact, no cities or teams were announced today. The only thing that was announced today is the USFL is coming back and they have secured Fox as a television partner. So they've got a network television partner that is prominent and can put them on a big stage, and the rest of the details would get worked out. But it would be cool to have the Memphis Showboats again, wouldn't it?
Dude, it would be awesome. I mean, listen, you can go look up YouTube videos of a completely full Liberty Bowl Memorial Stadium watching a Memphis Showboats game.
Yeah, that resonated. Like, it was only
it did
like,
here.
Like it was just a minute. I mean, it was
just a minute.
It was here and then it was gone. But it mattered. Like I was very young. So I can't remember the details, but I remember it mattering. I remember it being a thing that mattered. And so it would be cool if that did happen. And, you know, from an outsider's perspective, Memphis seems like the type of market you would want because it's a pro sports market.
Yes.
Because of the Grizzlies. And no other football teams outside of the University of Memphis Tigers, of course. No professional football team. So,
I mean, you know, again, like you get what? Like, how many home games do the Tigers have every year? 5, 6, something like that? Like, come on. I mean, there's nothing else really going on at the Liberty Bowl, right?
There's literally nothing else
going
on.
Yeah, like,
Liberty Bowl.
I mean, I went, what did we have a couple years ago? The Express, the AFL.
Yeah.
I went to a game, it was actually one that they won. And the crowds were never huge there, but it was cool. I think people liked it and would go to this for sure. I really do. I think Memphis makes a lot of sense.
So they wouldn't be competing with college football, wouldn't be competing with the NFL, and really wouldn't be competing with college basketball and barely the NBA. So, you know, the calendar makes sense. It was relevant once upon a time, and so we'll see two things going forward. A, can it be relevant again all these years later? And B, will Memphis be a part of it? We'll see.
Story number 3.
So we got an update today from TMZ about the incident that Casey Anthony, alleged child killer, had at a bar down in Florida. All we knew, and perhaps I'm the only one that follows this type of stuff, but I love this type of stuff.
I know you do.
All we knew before today was that Casey Anthony was involved in an incident at a bar. She called 911. End of story.
Mm-hmm.
Now we know what the incident was about. A woman was in the bar, and that woman was dating the man that Casey Anthony used to date.
Okay.
So they have that common thing.
Yep.
And it became an incident between Casey Anthony and that woman.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to know what sparked the incident?
What happened?
Casey Anthony told the woman that her boyfriend had texted her, and the woman threw a drink on her.
Oh, wow.
Let's stop here for a second.
Yeah, okay.
Why would you say that to that woman?
That's kind of mean.
Like, what good can come of that? You're ratting out your ex-boyfriend, and you're just...
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.